We've got Cliff and George with us, two fascinating guys, witty and bright and fun and intelligent, and they have just about been the biggest downer I've ever had on the program. Nothing personal, guys, but gosh, this is...
Well, let me get it even a little bit spookier for you, then.
Oh, boy, here we go.
This was suggested by one of my subscribers, and I think while dramatic, it's a good illustration of what we're looking at. But imagine that it's now... well, my clock shows that it's 7 minutes after 12 a.m., and let's fast forward here, and we're sitting there on October 6th at 12:07. In 3 minutes' time, the planet is going to start shifting into release language. The difference between building tension language and release language is that in building tension, as you can imagine, your muscles and body contract. They want to hold you in. It relates to angst, anxiety, worries about what might happen. Release language, on the other hand, your body goes slack. You may actually get stunned. You may fall over. You may faint. Things loosen up. You lose cohesion. And it's all after the fact. And the language that comes out about it is expressing how you're feeling as a result of that. So you've released because the event or events that you were worried about have already occurred or that you didn't even see coming. That's the worst kind of a case where you're suddenly surprised by it. So in just about 2 minutes' time now, few weeks in the future, the planet's going to start going through this period. It's not going to happen all at once. I'm not going to get it at the same time George will necessarily. It'll depend on where you are, when you wake up, what the events actually are, and the speed at which the planet rotates. But that's 1,000 miles an hour. So it might go pretty quick. And then the ultimate speed of how fast this spreads has to do with the speed of communication. Again, fairly fast.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I would like to have you back on the program and see how this goes and what came true and what didn't. But that's assuming there could be a program. I mean, in the scenario you're talking about, I would imagine that communications lines, cell phones, computers, radio, things would be disabled.
They may
disabled.
Get disrupted, yes. Yeah. But it may be something, I mean, we get into speculation. George and I waste endless hours saying, oh, it could be this, it could be that, what fits the scenario, what doesn't, and so on. But it could be something as such as a false flag attack in some part of the world that's not necessarily the U.S. It could be U.S.-centered. It might be something that's a slow boil in the sense that it's a release of some kind of a bioagent that takes 3 weeks before the sudden gasp that we all realize that it has happened. However, the language would start happening to those people that are affected at the point that of the impact and spread out from there.
You see anything with nukes in it? You talked about a...
We see that all the time, but that's one of... It's like politics and religion. There are certain subjects that are so hot that linguistically that it's very hard to pick up any nuance. And without nuance, we really can't make predictions because it's hard to find the archetypes among the language being used.
On the other hand, we have to point out that, in all fairness, the period that we're in right now, the September 15 through 27, we're expecting to see elements of a prequel, in other words, events that will set the stage. And among these, I look at this Pakistan hotel bombing and the, quote, terrorism involved there, and I'm going, oh, gosh, I hope that doesn't fit into it, because we do have a couple of numbers that have popped out using the same approach that popped out with a number 300,000 dead or driven back to a previous age prior to the Banda Aceh quake. That quake occurred in December of 2004. The 300,000 popped out in Cliff's work in August or so. So we do have a couple of really big numbers that are quite worrisome about what this October 7 event could be.
You know, you guys, I don't know if you listen to Coast to Coast, but there are a lot of folks who have come on over the years and had dire predictions and things. There was the whole Y2K thing. More recently, there's been a lot of speculation about 2012 and the Mayan calendar. We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, a lot of these predictions have been made and in history. The end of the world is coming, and they haven't come true. So really does strike me, though, that you're dealing with something on a different level than guesswork or a vision or something like that.
We get things wrong all the time.
Oh, that's good.
Fortunately, very unfortunately, we get things right, and when we are right, it tends to be spectacularly so.
Tell me this. Now, I mentioned in the beginning this thing about the Arlington Institute that sort of is on the same page with you guys. Are there other think tanks? Are there other people who are in the forecasting business who are basically saying something similar, maybe not based on the same system that you use?
I usually, as a rule, don't read other things, so I don't pollute my interpretations. I'm aware in vague terms that other people are citing in on October, and there's been a lot of rumors about it because our data sets pick it up, and our spiders, the little parts that run out on the Internet and grab the words, they are picking it up, and I'm aware of those. But I usually don't read the predictions themselves. However, as George Ure will be quite happy to tell you, we know the Chinese are into this.
Well, yeah, that's why I was wondering. Go ahead.
We actually tripped across some of their data gathering. I think it was 2002 that we first came across it. They have a similar language-grabbing program out surfing the Internet, except they're doing much larger chunks. And I think we tracked it back to a Chinese supercomputing center someplace in western China.
Hey, George, it was within 50 miles of the epicenter of that quake.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is that, too.
Yeah.
I think so. You mentioned, George, you know, who else is out there. I think some of the best work in the field is coming out of Dean Radin. His paper when he was at Boundary Institute on time-reversed human perception really quantifies, and then he's dealt with it more in his book, Entangled Minds and so forth.
I know Dean Radin and have interviewed him a couple of times when he lived here in Las Vegas.
Brilliant guy.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant guy. And so, you know, when you get down to the hardcore, show me the science of it, you know, if he can demonstrate in a laboratory setting that people have physical reactions to pictures and graphics, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds before they're shown the graphic, you can actually get some confidence that what we're picking up in what's almost a linguistic blink lab approach. You know how blink labs work, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, a blink lab it's really useful for understanding what we're doing, because what astronomers do is they'll take two pictures of the sky in exactly the same place, and then they'll look at the picture, flip back and forth one picture to the other, and that which moves on the picture may be a new object for them, and that's called blinking. And that's really how we look at these clouds of language. We blink lab the stuff, and so the basis of one run, Cliff will blink it to another a current run, and we'll see the shift in the language, and that's the area which draws his attention.
And thus, when we get to politics, religion, certain subjects, the language is always hot, and there's very little movement within the blinks.
But you mentioned that the Chinese are looking at this. I've got to believe. I can't imagine why our government would not. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about whether the U.S. government has an interest in pursuing this and whether they're on your butts or not, trying to figure out how you do it. We're going to be right back with more Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're talking with George and Cliff about this unique technique they've developed for sort of predicting the future, and it's been pretty grim news so far. Tell me, fellas, you say you had evidence that the Chinese had developed something like this and that they're looking into doing the same sorts of things. I would think that some of these three-letter agencies here in the U.S. would be all over this kind of thing, and I wonder, are they doing it, to your knowledge, and if they're not doing it, why haven't they come and knocked on your door? Or have they?
We've had some history with the military. There seems to be some suggestion that they're not doing this because it's a little too woo-woo at this stage, right? A little too much voodoo and hoodoo and who knows what. And besides, the three-letter guys are more interested in who says what, and we don't care about that. So when we do data gathering, we don't take their same approach. Also, I don't know, for instance, if that sort of mindset can effectively use the kind of tool we've created.
Well, you know, those guys have spent a lot of money over the years on remote viewing.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't think it's anywhere near as accurate as what we're doing. And this is a pauper situation. We're in poverty here. So relatively, we live better than most of the planet. But this is not a multi-million-dollar situation with supercomputers and so on. It's a couple of guys that scrounge together, you know, used drives and old servers and includes the whole thing like that, and we craft our own software. but it really comes from a different sort of view of the planet and how things work.
Let me see if I can explain that just a little bit, George, because it's an important distinction. The current thinking in the military and in the alphabet soup is that they want to be able to do massive databases. So you come up with things like Carnivore and Echelon, and they'll try to scan all the emails and sample long-distance conversations, especially those overseas, and look for social networking and try to drill down. Their thinking is that if they can find one terrorist, eventually they'll find the network, the interconnection that will lead them to the rest of the network and so forth. Our work is not predicated on that kind of an approach. We don't do drill downs in that regard. What we do is it's much like looking at a microscope versus binoculars. Our work is more binoculars oriented. We're looking for the big stuff, the planet killer, the things like earthquakes and massive change like this thing that happens on October 7th through March of next year. We can see that stuff pretty well, but we don't have the microscope that if you could find one player in that, you could drill down into it and find out his social, where he works, and go pop him and, you know, waterboard him or whatever they do.
There's also another basic supposition we have to go to. They may not need this.
Yeah.
If you're creating it, why would you need to be told you're creating it?
Because you know what's coming since you're doing it anyway.
Right.
You mentioned about you don't have a supercomputer. You're just piecing this thing together. If you had one, could you fine-tune this?
It wouldn't necessarily help. It might allow us to do things in real time. But again, then you get into an order of complexity that I'm not willing to manage. Then you've got to have people to run the thing. You've got to have more programmers, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't necessarily help the whole process.
Plus, those are mouths you'd have to feed when everything hits the fan.
Yeah.
Not only that, but there's so much of Cliff's background that I don't know that we could duplicate even if we had carte blanche in terms of budget, because where do you find people who are somewhat multilingual, understand the subtleties of language, have an open head to the future? I mean, the shopping list gets to be pretty impressive. And, oh, by the way, you have to be able to fix a national insurance company-sized database on command in your sleep.
Back to the government thing, and I don't want to beat this. Yeah, I got you. I don't want to beat this at you over the head with this thing, but you mentioned and gave me a little hint there. If you don't want to get into it, I can understand why you might not, but you said there had been some contact with the government. Does that mean you went to them and said, hey, we've got something you should pay attention to?
Precisely that. In a fit of patriotic fervor swept up along with the general emotions post 9/11, I said, hey, guys, talking to the CIA, you want to have a look at this? Through George, and he submitted this brief to him about how it all worked and some examples and so on. And they came back and they said, well, it's pretty interesting. Thanks a lot, but not our line of country.
And we still we have many readers between Cliff's work and mine that we presume are pretty well connected into the military.
Well, George, we presume because it's a fact. We get visited by Dot Mills constantly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how far we want to go on that, but we do try to share that which has even.
No, I meant just the drop-ins from the Dot Mill agencies.
Oh yeah. Those guys drop by all the time. but we do try to actively share when we see something big coming, like tonight. We try to share and say, hey, here's something coming down the road.
Here's something coming down the road. Your website has apparently crashed. One of our listeners, Kelly, said that it could be that it's just overwhelmed by Coast listeners. They're pretty they don't waste any time. So, folks, if you're having trouble getting through, I suggest you take it easy and give them a day to get it back up. And
mine is still up. Let me pop up.
UrbanSurvival.com is the one that I was told that was.
Oh no, it's up. I just hit refresh.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And halfpasthuman.com, do you know, is that?
That actually is probably less of an issue, and that goes to just the point I wanted to bring up. We put out free stuff that's in the public interest on George's site. What we do on my site is we try and get enough people that are far-sighted enough and have a need for it to pay us a lot of money, and we're talking a lot of money, to sign up for one of these runs. So I don't recommend most people sign up for my site. If you're worried about kind of this kind of thing, check George's site every day. He's got a free daily report that keeps you in stitches, especially the business about the goats and some of the other things he's doing. But that's a site.
What's the story on the goats?
Oh, he's turned into a part-time goat herder.
I mean, why not have registered goats to keep your property cleaned up, you know?
Yeah. But in any event, so go to George's site, and you'll get any free information, or we'll put it out on venues such as this show. And there's no real need to come on in and pay for the very dense language that probably won't aid you. I have to be very clear about this, because there's all kinds of people out there that get hung up on prophecy, and they've got an addiction, a Jones for it, and a lot of people will pay, you know, good Social Security money, money that can go to feeding them, clothing them, putting food on the table for their family, and getting medicine, and we don't need those dollars. So please, if you're just worried at that level, check George's site.
Is there something about Antarctica? I know I mentioned earlier, yeah. I was asking about global warming. Does it fit into this picture in some other way I don't understand?
In a couple of other ways, actually. We have a tendency to segregate our data down to discrete clumps. We call these clumps entities. We assign labels to the entity that kind of describes it. So, for instance, we've got an entity that houses all of the stuff about the populace of the USA. We have another entity that houses all the stuff about the powers that be, based on our language sort of stuff. And Antarctica is very, very, very important to the powers that be. Far more language now than in their little entity than was found 2 years ago, 2 years before that. And in 1998, when we first started getting into this sort of thing, it was virtually not there at all. So it's really scaled up over, say, the last 10 years to the point where about 13% of the linguistics within the powers that be relate to things like Antarctica.
I wonder if
unexplained why kind of things going on there.
Is that like a place to escape to for the elite?
No, it doesn't appear that way. That kind of language is not associated with it, no.
It's more like there's something there they're interested in or something going on they're interested in.
Yeah, it's a big key to whatever is driving them. And they are being driven. Needs must is the devil drives. The powers that be are getting really wacky, and it's because of what they know that we don't.
You know, we've heard a lot of predictions about this Hadron Super Collider, and we talk about it on the program all the time. Anything in that regard?
No. We've gotten some things about how it was going to break down. What did we put in there? That there were going to be some orange issues, George?
Right.
And it wouldn't be a big deal for anybody. I personally am not worried about it because I don't think that black holes exist. They can screw up a lot of other things. They may cause time loops or who knows what because they really don't understand how universe works, and they're going to be shooting things at each other that are going to cause, could cause unexpected side effects. However, our data so far, and let me think, that was about, what, 5 months, 6 months back? Was that it, George?
Something like that.
Yeah, and we had some discussion of it within the data sets and came to the conclusion that it was a juggling act that they'd keep dropping the oranges.
Yeah, we're not really worried about that. We're more worried about things like the alien stuff that's way, way off in the future.
Well, I was going to save that till when we come back after the break. We're definitely going to get into some of those exotic topics that are of interest to Coast listeners. I know you mentioned this other prediction where 300,000 lives were lost or changed. Is there any kind of vast change in the population that you see coming now?
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, we've got numbers that – now, let me stipulate that we're frequently wrong. And that the Internet is, of course, filled with numbers, so we have a tendency to discount those whenever we come across them,
right.
Except through this very selective process, archetype upon archetype upon archetype. So we really make it work for it before we trust any kind of number at all. That's why, for instance, we don't do stock prices or any of that sort of thing. But we've got a number that shows up that's and also bear in mind, we have a little problem with decimal points, the way our particular setup works, but it's 2 million to 22 million.
2 million to 22 million, meaning lives lost.
Or seriously impacted to the stage where it's not the same life anymore.
Wow. Well, it's a fascinating discussion. When we come back, we're going to get into some of the coast-to-coast topics, ETs and things of that sort. And I'm going to ask you guys, is there a silver lining here somewhere? Because I sure hope there is. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. If you're wondering, that music is a group called Calexico, well-known here in the Southwest. Maybe you need to stock up on some good music like that. music help us through some tough times that George and Cliff, our guest tonight, say are coming. We've been talking about some very practical matters about survival and the economy and war and things of that sort. But the staples of this program have often been things more exotic, like ETs. And they fit into this scenario. I'm not exactly sure how, but we're going to get into that as soon as we come back from this short break on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with George and Cliff about some dire predictions that are on the table here coming our way. When I began this program, fellas, I don't know how often you tune in, but we often talk about ETs and various scenarios. And one of the things that's been discussed for many years is the possibility of some sort of a staged event. I don't know. Do you subscribe to the idea that ETs are real, that they may play a role in some of this stuff that is coming down the pike?
You first, George?
Oh, no, you can go first, Cliff.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned on this one, it's quite clear that there's a reality behind the constructs that are being presented to us. There's much in the way of disinformation, so we're necessarily in a very gray area, but it's quite clear that there's something outside of the human realm that is driving the powers that be.
Meaning that that an agenda is being set by someone else?
Or by their fear of someone else, however you want to put it. The same thing would accomplish it if the powers that be knew of the, or even had a greater extent of the knowledge around an alien threat than we do, or perceived threat, then it would motivate them to move in particular ways, and we're seeing the effects of that.
George, let me be a little bit more direct, if I can. We've got some stuff in the model space about, you don't mind if I talk about the disappearance?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, we've got stuff that goes to the idea of disappearances beginning next year, and it isn't disappearances like Christian rapture disappearances. It's disappearances like linguistically, it would go to the idea of almost like interdimensional door opens up and you get thrown in the stew pot kind of stuff.
No, let's be real crisp about it. Okay, let's use the appropriate language. George got so far there. It is as though an interdimensional door opens up. Some compelling force occurs, and people are sucked through that door, and the door closes, and there's absolutely no evidence. It is as though people disappearing from between one footstep and the next.
Meaning something snatches them.
Correct. In a way in which the physical material body doesn't leave a whole lot of what we would think of as forensic clues, so concentrating on that is kind of useless because it's way beyond that level of things.
The thing about your background that's unique, George, is you did the book on The Hunt for Skinwalker, and you've actually been around that kind of, I guess I'd call it dimensional weirdness.
Yeah, very much so. And, it certainly suggests, the evidence suggests that there really is some kind of a dimensional factor at work that other kinds of entities can come in and out at will. We obviously have not figured out how to do that. I'm wondering whether or not this 2 to 22 million figure that you're talking about is related to this.
No, the actual disappearance componentry, I shouldn't say that. I think not. The disappearance language, actually, we get a little bit more specific. And what's going to change is the big change is that not only are just regular people going to disappear, but some of the powers that be are going to disappear, along with their bodyguards. It's going to get to the point where, according to the linguistics we've got, the powers that be are going to be in a visible sense, and we have to discuss that in a minute, out and about with large troops of people around them. And it won't be because they fear terrorists.
It's because they fear whatever this is.
Correct.
And they get, poof, they're gone.
You got it. Bodyguards and all.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's going to cause some strain, though, because it's going to make them even crazier than they are now.
But you're not talking about something like an intervention where some other force is here to help us or save us.
We have no language to that effect. We wouldn't necessarily get intent. I deliberately stay away from trying to answer the why question because that goes to intent. And most mornings, I can barely make it beyond the intent to get coffee for myself. So trying to figure it out for someone else, I just don't want to go there.
When you talk about these kind of scenarios, we talked about disinformation. Do you suspect that there are powers that be that spread things like disinformation
we know that
downplay the reality?
alter the perception of it. Then again, if you try and say downplay, then you're back into the language of that's a putting an intent on them that they wish to go to a particular direction, and you're making an assumption which may not be true. Many times they actually want to hype the emotional component around it, just and direct it a different way.
For example, you see programs, an ABC program that aired a couple of days ago, you know, high-profile thing. It didn't cut much new ground, but it certainly raises the awareness level.
Yeah, that probably was not the point, was to not necessarily impart any information. Anything coming over the TV anymore, I consider to be more an emotional manipulation tool than an information imparting tool.
There's nothing you see where we encounter these beings on some kind of an indisputable level where,
yes,
you know,
yes.
The reality. I'll explain that then.
We have indications in the language, which could be wrong and could be the result of the disinformation, and we could be being played, because once it becomes known how we do things, or they can guess it, the government could do things to cause this to occur. Let's just say an interested party with enough money and supercomputing power could trick us. But we do have indications that an alien war is coming.
Not as a staged event, an actual war.
We couldn't tell the difference. That's part of the problem. Let's talk about visibility for a second. It goes back to that terrorist solution or example we had earlier. If what we really don't get is a description of the event, really it appears that what we're getting is humans acting as psychic antenna, if you will, and they're reading the paper after the event, they're talking to their friends after the event, and we're picking up some of the language that they're using then to describe the event coming back to us now. Sort of clear as mud?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what's happening is that we get language as though we're reading the newspaper after the event. If the newspaper is wrong, we're going to get wrong information.
Or another way of thinking of it, George, is the event may or may not be real, but people are reacting as though it's real.
There you
well,
go.
That sort of sounds like a stage thing that we've talked about before.
But you couldn't tell the difference from our data, so we couldn't say one way or another. And it is true that humans are xenophobic. We fear those things, those creatures, including ourselves, that are different from us. The universe put this into us for a reason. There may be some good reason to harmonize with that. I personally, in a very core level of understanding, do not believe that all of the space alien, interdimensional, not from here beings are friends. And I also think they have their own agendas that are not necessarily ours.
The good news is we don't have to worry about it until 2010, except the disappearances next year.
Yeah.
Oh, the good news.
Yeah.
Well, you wanted a cheery bit. There's plenty of time to eat pie before you're snatched by the space aliens for whatever weird agenda they got going.
So enjoy your pie while you can. Well, really, let's pursue this idea of good news. Is there a silver lining somewhere here? Some kind of... light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, we don't like to deal in light. We like to deal in processes. Everything is becoming, changing, moving, et cetera. So there is no end of the tunnel. It's all continuous tunnel, and we just have to pay attention to where we are. And there are some very hopeful signs in the sense that the universe favors humans. We have indications that humans will be around for a long time, and it's just not necessarily good for any particular humans that happen to be living at the moment. So it depends on your view. If you're a speciesist like I am, and I think there's value to humans, and in general I like the crowd of humans, then I find it comforting that humans are favored by universe. For whatever reason, universe thinks us valuable, as do the space aliens. And it is that value that will carry forward in time.
You would categorize this other intelligence as non-human.
There's no question about that. Whether or not the military or, you know, the powers that be, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, are out there mucking about with their own version of reverse engineering and this idea of giant holograms to convince us of a space war, whether any of that is true or not is independent of the fact that there is the other. Within consciousness, there is a distinct other that is non-human.
You ever get a sense that there is communication with the non-human, whatever it is?
Sure, it's happening constantly. And there's a growing collective within the human population globally that is now becoming very intent and very systematically organized towards exploring and reaching into that area. And these are all the psychonauts. These are all the people that like Arrowhead or some of these other sites that report their journeys on these psychedelic substances. There's also people that or in like India and so on, that India got wise to the remote viewing, and they said, CIA's doing it, why don't we do it? So they went out and they got people that do this sort of thing for their lives, which are all the yogis, and they're putting them to work. And so they're in remote viewing and in other kinds of exercises, such as exploring for the other.
One of the problems looking forward, George, is we have no idea what the words are that we're looking at. For example, in one little part of Cliff's work, and I don't mean to give it all away, Cliff.
That's fine. George. We're at that time.
Yeah, I guess we are. Okay, so we're tracking at the moment something that linguistically would be called a coherer, and it's almost like a reverse engineering breakthrough kind of thing that has gotten loose and out of control of the powers that be.
Or it might be a found device, George.
It could be that. But our problem linguistically is we don't know what this thing is called, but it's on the loose and the good guys have it for now.
A found device meaning E.T. or something from somewhere else.
Left behind or came through from another dimensional, you know, kind of a thing. Who knows? But that's just it. We get all these weird descriptions. And in fact, we had to create an entity to store all the things that are unknown and officially denied, because we kept getting juxtapositions of words, conjunctions that just did not make any kind of sense, where we could usually expect a little bit of it. And it obviously was a situation where we didn't have the context correctly described, and so therefore we're getting out of the data the best we could, and it really was hinting that we had something that was unknown and not able to be described, but nonetheless meaningful and important.
When I asked you a moment ago about communication, and you mentioned about yogis and people experimenting with psychedelic substances and things of that sort as individuals, I was wondering whether communication on an official level, like our government reaching out and trying to have a dialogue.
Yeah, that's been going on for years and years and years.
You think so?
Yeah.
People have to remember that in 1952, there were literally dozens of UFOs cited over Washington, D.C. I mean, it was in all the D.C. papers. And yet, when it comes to even a suggestion that was the beginning of the real communication between our world and whatever, if you even suppose that, you're a nut job.
Yeah. They put a lot of time and effort into creating a particular mental construct, which they will use to their intent, or maybe. There's a lot to suggest the powers that be are really a bunch of incompetent boobs and have got things twisted, and they've created some side effects that they were not prepared for.
Can I get an amen on that? Yeah.
And I'm just intrigued as all get out as to what this device is that is out and about in the world right now that is being chased down by the powers that be.
I'm thinking of like an obelisk, like from 2001 or something.
No. Occasionally we get details that are really shocking about rather private lives, and we try not to intrude much. But, for instance, we've got one of our recent hits was about the release of the Ingrid Betancourt woman from her captivity of 6+ years. We'd been tracking that for I don't know how many years through an archetype. And so it was about a very specific person. We've got all the linguistics fulfilled. It works really well. But who knew at the time that we were looking at this very specific person? We've now refined that so that because we refine between each one of the runs we do, we get a little bit better each time. We now know that we're tracking a story about two specific individuals that are whistleblowers. They have in their possession this found unit, this device, this thing that we're calling a coherer. They're actually fleeing for their lives, and they have been for a number of months at the moment, and they'll pop up into existence here and be somewhat visible over this coming winter. And by visibility, we mean hitting the global media stream in one way or another, such that it'll eventually feed back to us guys sitting around here reading your site or whoever's. Understand?
Yeah, I think so. I can guess who's looking for them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're in fear for their lives. Now, some interesting things about this whole deal is that when they got hold of these devices, escaped from the lab, found them in the desert, who knows? They themselves just have, in handling these things, have created a couple of side effects that the powers that be weren't aware could be created. And that's all as vague as possible, but we don't really have the language to say what the side effects are, how they're going to really impact people, and that sort of thing.
We just call them coherers because whatever they are, those devices, we don't have a word for it. I mean, picture yourself being a caveman and looking at a Colt 45 model 1911. What would you call it?
Yeah, well, maybe these are the individuals have these things that are able to pierce this portal that you guys are talking about. That
could well
up.
Be the case.
Tell
in fact,
me this.
I would suspect that it's more complex than we can even imagine because the greater the or the length of time of technology, the smaller it gets, the more you pack into it.
Tell me this. We're in the middle of a presidential election campaign, and, you know, back and forth, you said this, you're a liar about that. It all seems pretty mundane and insignificant when you look at the kinds of things that you're talking about. Is there a role to be played by the upcoming election?
I don't vote.
And we know the outcome of this one, linguistically, the outcome of this one won't be decided for some months past November anyway.
And it also, it's kind of like, it's sort of immaterial.
That's what I was wondering, if it makes any difference to what's going to happen.
No, it won't change things. And the response that will be, the president really doesn't have that much power. Their strings are pulled by the people that pay for their everything and control all of their desires and feed all of their passions. So really, what does it matter? You know, this retarded cowboy, that elitist, Ivy Leaguer, it doesn't matter.
You said you know the what's going to happen in this election? I mean, literally know who's going to win?
We wouldn't say that, I don't think.
No, and we have to also acknowledge politics is very hot. We're most often wrong in that area. So there's certain areas that we have this little pyramid that shows where, this little chart on the wall, that shows where to really be careful in the interpretations. Because we're most often wrong in these particular areas where there's very little nuance. But in terms of it making a difference, no, it won't make much of a difference. The difference is made by individual personal responsibility, the whole mindset. In fact, there's an example of it on the TV now. There's this commercial out there in which the large font letters, save us, help us, you may have even seen this, help us solve this climate crisis, you know, save us from this energy thing. We demand 100% free energy now, blah, blah, blah. If you actually analyze the amount of linguistics involved, you find that 90% of the linguistics are appeal linguistics that are a particular kind of emotion and angst-building language, and it's a form of neuro-linguistic programming and does not relate at all to the end result of what these people are trying to accomplish. Basically, it's a bit of let's all worship the government and get in our hearts the idea that we can be saved by this outside source. And I instantly discard that. Nothing will save us. None of the government can help us. If you're relying on the government, you're listening to an odd show.
We have a couple minutes left, 2-3 minutes left before we take our break, and then we'll open it up to callers. Before we do that, just in those couple of minutes, is there anything reassuring you can say to people? Again, I know we discussed some ways that they can prepare food and water and things like that, but anything else, anything to preserve and to prepare in terms of quality of life to get ready for this thing?
If you think about it like you prepared for Y2K, that's probably a good synopsis of it. Think of a Y2K prep, planning for a world with no money or a vastly changed outlook on money, something where money is replaced by the importance of calories and a calorie balance or an energy balance as opposed to printing up incantations and symbols on paper.
And the best thing you could possibly do, and George is correct, the change in the money and the whole thing, the best thing you can possibly do is recognize that as a human being you have absolutely no control over circumstance. And the only thing you own is your attitude about what happens. And so you need to get yourself into a clear headspace over these next few years and control your attitude.
Okay, George and Cliff, on that note, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and we'll open up the phone lines and see what kind of questions the world has for you here. So stay with us on Coast to Coast AM.